What's going on, everybody? Paul Hickey here with nooffseason.com. Welcome back to another special episode of the Sports Card Strategy Show behind the scenes at the Mint Collective 2023 in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. I attended an awesome session called Grade School by CSG, and it's basically how to grade your cards, how to prep your cards for the best grading submission possible, making the most informed grading decision possible. And I thought this might be the best session for me to attend and stream to you, the audience. This is Andy Broom, who's a pro CSG grader. He does a great job. Take it away, Andy. Guys, I hope you really like this. This is a super informative.
So we'll talk about the school supplies, all right? You go to school, you got to have school supplies. So we'll talk about the tools that graders have and how to use them. Also talk about how to handle cards like a grader. I know there's a lot of misinformation about things like handling cards, and so we'll talk a little bit about how we handle cards and how I teach my graders in our grading classrooms how to handle cards. Then we're going to do a live grading demonstration. We're going to show you some key areas of things that you guys may or may not know or what we see commonly missed on cards when they're submitted. And then in that, we'll also show some counterfeits and some alterations that we can talk about and teach you guys about. And then finally, we'll wrap up with a Q&A. So as I said, grade school. We got to have our school supplies to start school. You know, it's no different than when we were in school. You had to have pencils and rulers and all that good stuff. We have to have that to be a professional grader. So there's a number of tools that we use, some on a daily basis, some more infrequently. But, you know, we basically, as a grader, you have four handheld tools that are your personal tools, and that's a loop, a precision ruler, a clean microfiber cloth, and a handheld UV light. And then finally, we'll talk about some other tools and technologies that we use that, not necessarily, as I said, something we use on every single card, but we definitely do use them. So we'll start with the loop. I think the loop is one of the most important tools to be a card grader. And so, you know, when you hear loop, it's a magnifier, right? And so there is a lot of misinformation with that, with the loop and what kind of loop and how to use it. So I'm gonna walk through that. So we use a loop that's 10x or 10 times magnification power. Now, the grading standards, they're written for 10x. You know, I have people all the time that ask about what kind of loop do I use and recommend, and then people say, oh, I got something even better. I bought a 30X or I bought a 60X. And I'm like, that's great. And you will never be able to grade cards. Not that we don't use more powerful magnification, but the standards are written for 10X. So if you want to apply the same standards as the grading companies do, you'll want to have a 10X lens for your loop. So the type of lens is very important. Just quickly, I'll run through the types of lenses. You know, a single. It's just that, it's a single lens element. That's the part you look through, the glass. Two lens elements fused together, that's known as a doublet lens, and that helps to correct some of the distortion that you see through a single lens. If you've ever used one, a very inexpensive loop, the $3 to $5 loops that you'll see, most of those are single lenses or doublets. And you'll notice that around the edges of the lens, you'll see a yellow halo. That's where the image is distorted and the color is distorted. And so a triplet lens is three lens elements fused together. And that's going to give you your better quality lens that you need to be able to see cards. You want that triplet lens to be corrected for image and color distortion. I just touched on that. Sometimes you'll hear them referred to as a diamond grader's loop. And if you know anything about diamonds, you know it's all about the color. That's one of the four C's. A clear, perfectly clear diamond is considered, you know, high grade. So you can't have distortion in the lens. If you have a loop that has yellow tint to it because it's distorted, obviously that'll throw off the diamond grading. And it's the same in cards. So we want to eliminate any type of distractions with the distortion of the image or the color. And so that's the type of triplet lens we're going to look for. And finally on that, there's many different sizes of lenses. Most common triplet lenses that you'll see seem to be in the 21 millimeter size. A lot of mine that I have are 21 millimeter. It's a good size lens. Some of the cheaper ones you'll see are small, 17 millimeter, and they're just way too small to grade cards. So now we'll talk a little bit about how we use a loop. And when do we use a loop? So that's another question I get a lot. Do I use a loop on every single card that we grade? The short answer is no. But you know, when we're starting out, you know, at CSG, we actually have a classroom for all our different collecting verticals. You know, with Certified Collectibles Group, we grade not only sports cards, but trading cards, coins, comics, paper money, video games, and some other verticals we'll be announcing later this year. But in these verticals, you know, when you're first starting out, you go through our training classroom. And you'll go through the classroom. Once you graduate from that classroom, then you'll move to the actual grading floor and be with other graders. And so when you're starting out in class, everything's under a loop, because that's how we learn. The more you learn about the types of cards you're collecting, what they're supposed to look like under a loop, you're gonna loop everything. That's kind of the name of the game. You know, as you advance as a grader, you know, there's certain areas that as you're grading, you won't necessarily need a loop, but things like corner damage, edges, things of that nature will definitely loop. So we talk about how to use a loop, and I'll show a little clip here in just a second. But you know, as a general rule, and I hope everybody can see it, we saw on the screen, but this is the type of loop that was in the on the screen. And so when we're grading cards, the general rule of how to use a loop is you want to start the loop approximately an inch from your eye, and then have the card approximately an inch from the lens. And of course, everyone's eyesight is different, so you'll just make adjustments. And so and Weston demonstrated, we'll show in a video there, but that's the general rule where you start out. And so you'll just make that adjustment, whether it's the card moving in and out of the lens, until the image is crystal clear and sharp. Again, I spoke about why we only use 10x. That's because that's what the standards are written for. Anything more than that, and you're going to be overcritical of the grade, and you're obviously going to lower the grade of the card when it's not really necessary. And again, as I said, that doesn't mean we don't use higher magnification. I do have many types of loops of different powers, from 10 all the way up to 100. I have a stereo microscope that's 100 power, and some other technology. And we do use those. Those are used for counterfeit detection, alteration detection, and things of that nature. But we were grading cards. When you're looking at cards, going through cards, selecting cards to submit for grading, 10x is what you need. Another question I get a lot about loops is, does the brand matter? It really doesn't. If you go for the qualities that we've talked about here already about a loop, it doesn't matter the brand. I'm not married to any brand. I have loops of all different brands and all different price points. You can spend over $100 on a loop. This Peak loop with the measuring rectal inside, I mean, it's fancy. It focuses like a camera lens. Wow. These are about $100, $110. But this loop right here does the same thing. It's got the correct lens. It also has a LED, that's not the one. One of them has an LED light. I think you got mine.
Wow.
Yeah, this one has a little LED light of rings, ring of lights around the lens, which is a nice little added feature, especially if you're looking at card shows where the light is usually terrible at best, and you may want to use the little LED light in there. So, you know, the brand doesn't matter. It's the quality of the lens and the style of the loop that works for you. That's what's important. As we see, here's a quick little video here of Weston, and he's showing how we look at it, how we use a loop, how we look at a car under a loop. So the next tool I'll talk about is the precision ruler. Now, another common question I get is, do you measure every card to see if it's trimmed? And that answer is no, because you can't detect trimming by measuring a card. You can detect if a card size is off or some other things, but trimming is not based on the size. And in fact, you know, when you look at more sophisticated alterations and card doctors who've been doing this for a long time, they're gonna take cards that are oversized and cut them down to the proper size anyway. So a lot of cards that you're gonna measure that measure dead on perfect, they could be trimmed. So we have to look at something else other than the ruler when we're looking for trimming, and we'll talk about that. But what we do use precision rulers for is the measurement of centering. So if we break down the components of a card, down to the centering, corners, edges, and surface, the four elements of a card. Centering should be the least subjective, right? That's the one of the four subgrades that's actually measured. And so we use a precision ruler to lay that right on top of the card where we can measure that centering and get an accurate measurement. And so that's why we need the ruler, is we use it for that measurement of the centering. Now, we do measure the cards overall. That can be a red flag if you have a card issue that you know is very consistent with the card size, and you know that, you know, modern card 2.5 by 3.5 inches. If you know an issue is dead on that and you do measure it, it is short. Could be something going on. It doesn't necessarily mean it's trim, but it could be factory short. So sometimes we'll measure those like that. But generally, we're using the ruler for the centering. There's many different types of precision rulers. You know, I kind of joked a little bit about school supplies, right? And you remember the wooden 12-inch ruler that everybody used in school? Theoretically, yeah, you can use those to measure centering. But two things are going to happen. One, it's not precision enough. It's not broken down into the fractions of an inch enough to get an accurate measurement of centering. But also, you're going to damage the card, because as you can see in this image here, the ruler is actually laying directly on top of the card. And that's because these rulers are made for that. These are precision rulers that you'll see used in drafting, art, things of that nature. And so the surface, the ruler is like a film, and so it has a non-marring surface. And so as long as we keep our rulers clean, we can lay that ruler directly over top of the card and get a very accurate measurement. The two types of rulers we generally use is fractional inches and decimal inches. And decimal inches is what we measure and what we train our graders to measure the centering with. There, like I said, there's a million different types, but inches is what we use. As I spoke about the material does matter, because you've got to be able to lay that ruler directly on top of the card to get an accurate measurement. And so if it's not a proper material, you could scratch a chrome surface, catch an edge, those types of things. And obviously, you know, you don't want to damage a card just by measuring the centering. So we want to be mindful of the material that the ruler is made of. And again, we just spoke about how we use it. You know, essentially what we do is the decimal inches ruler. We'll take a measurement of each border, and then we'll calculate that and come up with the centering based on our centering chart. Cards that have defined borders, that's very easy to do. Cards that do not have defined borders, such as many of you know, some of the Prism products, just for an example, that don't really have defined borders, we have to go on what the manufacturer's design was intended to be, and we can measure off of different devices of the design, such as logos and nameplates and things of that nature. But all that is measured with this type of ruler. Our third tool to talk about is the microfiber cloth. You know, microfiber is, again, it's not real specific. There's a million different types out there. And we'll talk about a few of the different characteristics that we're looking for. But, you know, the main thing is you want a true microfiber material. I have seen some very cheap supposed microfibers online. We've gotten some samples to test out, and they're not really very good. They're very scratchy. They're not a real true microfiber material. And, you know, if it's not, then it's going to scratch your card surfaces, especially chrome surfaces and you know, prism surfaces. You know, what would you use a microfiber for? Well, it's pretty simple. I mean, things like fingerprints, smudges, things like that, we want to take those off the surface, right? And you know, a common misconception is, you know, if I don't get everything off of the surface, then I'm going to get hit for that on the grade. And that's not necessarily true. You know, if we get a card in and it does have a fingerprint on it, we're going to give it what we call a courtesy wipe. We're going to take a clean microfiber and we're just going to wipe it and remove that fingerprint. So things like that are not going to affect the grade. What affects the grades are things like, we're talking specifically about chrome surface cards, is not only scratches, but also with pinches, dimples, and some other weird things that we'll talk about. We got some interesting ones to look at. But you know, those you can't remove, and you can't remove scratches without it being detected, because what's happening is you're altering the surface if you're cleaning the card with more than a microfiber, and it's going to leave telltale signs behind. It's going to leave very fine micro scratches and other things. And so the microfiber is just there to remove the foreign debris, whether it's a fingerprint or what have you. Again, I'll show a clip here in just a second how to use microfiber. It's pretty simple. We're just going to take a card, and you want to make sure that the card's stable, whether it's in the palm of your hand or it's on the table, and we're going to just generally wipe in one direction. Because the biggest thing is we don't want to catch an edge, we don't want to catch a corner. You know, if you're sitting here doing this, well, you've just caught a corner, I can guarantee you. So we're going to find where the fingerprint is, and we'll just give it a general wipe in one direction. And generally, we'll go outwards, right? So we'll go over the edge, over the corner, because it's okay to go over it. We don't want to come back over it. Is it important to keep it clean? It is super important to keep it clean. I don't know if you know if you've ever gone through a car wash and they have the cloth octopus tentacles, you know. When those things start picking up debris off of other cars, they scratch your paint, right? Same thing to microfiber. You know, every week or so, I'll toss mine into a couple of them into the washing machine with my clothes. Just throw them in there to keep them clean. You want to keep it clean because this is making direct contact with your car. So anything that may be picked up on there, you know, I have one dedicated just to vintage cars with wax on the surface because I can wipe the wax. And that's fine, but I don't want to take that same microfiber and use it on a chrome card, right? Now it's going to make a mess. So you got to keep the cloth clean. And here's a little clip here of the use of a microfiber. And you can see that the card's laying in the palm, so there's nothing where you can, you know, press into the card, and we're giving that general wipe in one direction only. So the final tool in the four tools that we have in our each grader's toolkit is a handheld ultraviolet light. It's not a tool. This is probably of the four tools we've talked about so far, this is the one that's used the least. We're not using UV on every single light because it's not necessary. What are we looking for with an ultraviolet light? We're looking for things such as alterations, cleaning of cards, if it's been chemically cleaned, if it's been restored and there's been material added to a card. Some types of recoloring can be detected with black light. One type of recoloring that cannot be detected with a black light is dark colors, such as black. So if you have like a 71 tops of the full bleed black borders, you know, I'm sure, you know, anybody's vintage collector in here, you know, it's common to find with Sharpie and all kinds of other stuff touching up corners. And UV is not going to help you on that. It's only going to be on the lighter colors. And so there's some other ways to detect that type of recoloring. So what is an ultraviolet light or what's commonly called a UV light? It's simply what we use, simply a handheld light that emits ultraviolet light. Now there are two different types of UV that you'll hear about. There's short wave and long wave. And you know, these handheld lights, these are common. You know, you can buy these just about anywhere. And these are long wave. So generally speaking, long wave UV is not dangerous to your eyesight. You can use one without any further protection. Short wave you can't. Short wave you will damage your eyes. But, you know, like I said, we're buying the handheld ones. These are all going to be long wave unless it's specifically noted, and also they'll tell you what type of eye protection is required. This one is as you see on the screen, you can actually do it like this. You can actually focus the beam, which is kind of cool. And that's really the main reason why I picked this kind. You do have to watch, you know, some of the novelty light bulbs that we've probably all seen. For black light posters, you know, some of those aren't true UV emitting lights. And so you just want to make sure that the handheld UV light is a long wave UV light. Again, why do we need it for card grading? It's mainly for alteration detection. You know, if the card's been chemically cleaned, and more so vintage as far as chemically cleaned, but you know, I know bleach is a common one, but there's other chemicals used. Those types of alterations where those chemicals have been used on the card to clean stain or whatever it may be, that's detectable with a black light. Also, some types of restoration where you'll see a card may have rounded corners and now it has four sharp corners. So these corners have been rebuilt using a donor card, using a material from another card. But the binders that are using that, those are also reactive under the UV. So things like that are going to pop under UV light. We'll be able to see that. It's pretty simple. You know, the only thing is I took it down, unfortunately. It wasn't going to work with our camera, but you know, we use a pretty standard arm lamp, adjustable arm lamp that just comes over. We generally use the LED light bulbs. They seem to be the cleanest light. You definitely don't want to use fluorescent lights or even halogen lights, so we use the LED lights. But what I do is I turn my lights off at my grading station, so it's a little bit darker, and that just helps when you're using the UV for that, whatever you're looking for to pop. You don't necessarily have to stop down and go in a dark room or whatever, although that would help. But if you're, you know, like us at a grading station, it's just simply we'll turn the lights off at our station, and that's usually enough darkness, you know, to be able to use the UV light. And we talked a little bit about this. Does it matter the type of UV light? You know, you just want a true ultraviolet light and long wave. And now you'd have to go search out for a short wave. You'd have to go find that, but you just want to make sure you don't find one of those because that, without the proper eye protection, you'll hurt your eyes. So we'll talk about a few of the other tools, some of the other tools that we use on not even on a daily basis, but they're at the grader's disposal. And so we'll talk about some of that and some of the technology that we have. So one of the devices that we have in all of our grading rooms is a video spectral comparator. And fancy name, but it's a device that's used by the FBI, the CIA, Secret Service use it. It's used for forensic document examination. And so what it does is it's a machine that has many different types of light sources and different wavelengths. So infrared, ultraviolet short, ultraviolet long, things like that, to where we can examine cards on a much deeper level than any of our handheld tools. One thing we use it for is autographs. For autographs that are retraced, when you use a specific type of infrared with this device, it not only sees through the autograph, but it actually brings out everything that was there. So when you have an autograph that was wiped and re-signed, or even an autograph that's retraced, you can see both layers. You can see the original autograph and the new one on top. Even if the original is completely wiped, there will be evidence that only infrared can pick up. So that's some of the technology that we use. This is also a technology that has some incredible imaging capabilities, so we can get the magnification just unreal in this thing. Another thing that we have at our disposal is a handheld XRF, or X-ray fluorescent analyzer. It's a fancy name for a ray gun is what I call it. I call it a ray gun. And it's just a handheld X-ray machine. What it does is when you use it on an item, it can tell you the elemental breakdown of what that item is composed of, like copper and nickel and all kinds of other elements. And so what that does for cards, so if I have a baseline, I know what the cards are supposed to, what the chart's supposed to look like for the elements of a card. Then when it comes to a card that say it's been rebacked, and I'll use a Magic the Gathering Pokemon because this happens a little more frequently on that side. When those cards are rebacked, there's adhesive used for that. And so if a grader determines that it possibly could be rebacked, the XRF will tell us immediately. We'll get a element chart of what's on this card, and then all of a sudden now we've got some elements involved with this adhesive that's not on the card from the manufacturer. So now we have a red flag. So. Again, not a tool we use every day, but it's a really valuable tool to have at your disposal. And finally, the other tools that we use is AI assistance for grading and attribution. I know there's a lot of buzzwords and talk about AI in the industry, and is it going to take over, and are computers going to grade cards, and graders are out of jobs and things. Real AI isn't quite there yet, right? The AI, where we're at with AI is AI assistance. We're not trying to replace the expert card grader who have decades of experience handling cards. I want to give them more tools to be more effective graders and more accurate graders. And so with AI assistance, you know, not just that, the attribution's the easy part, right? The AI can identify that it's this card. That's easy. But the AI assistance is with the right parameters, you know, like with our system, it can give the grader information such as, I believe this measures this way, I believe that this card is this, I believe these corners are a six, things of that nature. And so it gives those tools to the grader, the expert can look at it and go, yes, I agree, or no, I don't agree with the computer. So that's really the value of AI assistance, is it's not to replace the grader, it's to give the grader more capabilities, more tools. I mentioned earlier a little bit about some of the other magnification besides your 10x loop. I have a stereo microscope that goes up to 100x. It's wonderful. It's fun to play with if you love cards and looking at, you know, I love looking at T206s under 100x. It's just really cool. But mine has dust on it, right? It's not something we use very often. But it's there when we do need it. And again, I mentioned the video spectral comparator. It also has some incredible video capability of magnification. So we have many types of magnification that we use, but again, it's not something that we use every day. So I do want to jump back over to the UV light. I want to just show an example of UV light in use. So I'm sure most everybody probably recognizes this is a portion of a 54 Tox Hank Aaron rookie. Now, if I'm looking at this image, excuse me, to me, in my eye, what I pick up immediately is it looks like that corner, something's been done to it. It looks like it's probably been pressed and trimmed. Just by the visuals of what I see on the screen, obviously I'd have to dig into it further. So this happened to be one that came through some time ago that was heavily altered, and it had multiple alterations on it, and so I thought this was a really cool one to do a deep dive on. So anyways, we see here, you know, otherwise, other than the edge and the corner that looked very suspect, Everything else, the color-wise, everything looks pretty good. But what we found was, and this is under, this was under shortwave. We put this under black light. The border lit up. So that obviously is weird, right? Why would the border light up? And so what we found is we dug through this, and we'll go closer up here is the corner. What's going on here is, yes, actually the corner has been not only pressed and trimmed, it's actually been rebuilt. The white border was power erased for whatever reason. There might have been some stains or something in that. And so they had to go a little too far in power erasing, so they had to go back and cover that with I'll call it a paint, whatever that material is, to get this. You know, the color is fairly natural looking, so whatever material was used as a paint was pretty good. But we have multiple alterations here. And so as we can see, we'll zoom in here, we can see some funkiness going on. And then we can see it under the black line. Actually, you can see the sloppiness of it, right? We can see the brush strokes of the card doctor at work here. And then we'll just see a little layover here. We can see this is from our video spectral comparator, and we can just go back and forth to different light sources so we can see this. And so this is a cool one. So now in this corner here, I'm actually going to back up one or two. If you look at that corner, you can kind of see a dark area that kind of rounds like it would be a rounded corner, and that's because this was a rounded corner. This point of this corner has actually been added, and it was made up from donor cards, probably 54 tops or some 50 tops cards, and made into a pulp, and they actually rebuilt the corner. So you can kind of see, if you look close, you can kind of see where that curve was, right? That rounded corner where it's been rebuilt. So our next little section here, we'll talk about how to handle cards like a grader. You know, it's pretty basic stuff, it's pretty common sense, but I want to walk through how we do it, and maybe that'll help you guys. So the number one most important thing, this is day one in our grader classroom, when I have new recruits in, and I address the group, one of the first things I say, you got to have clean, dry hands. Before you come out on the grading floor with the other graders, the first thing all my graders do, whether it's beginning of the day, lunch, or wherever, come in the room with clean, dry hands. That's the most important thing. These are our tools besides our loot. So I'm handling your cards, and so I don't take that lightly. You know, I'm a lifelong collector, and so I want to be assured that whoever's handling my cards is taking these steps, and I know you guys want the same. So number one rule, clean, dry hands. Number two, clean and trimmed fingernails. Probably haven't ever heard that before in card grading, but it's very true. We've actually done some research on it and found that, you know, not maintaining, and I'm not saying go out there and get a manicure, guys, okay? Just keep them clean and trim. But we've actually been able to see where there's instances if someone doesn't have clean and trimmed fingernails. You will damage a surface or an edge without even realizing it, especially edges. And if they're dirty, that just adds to it. So clean, just keep them trimmed and clean. That's the big thing. Another common question that I get about card grading, and actually not just a question, but here in the last couple of years since we've got so many new people in the industry during the pandemic, is I've had people come up to me, I cannot believe I've seen you on videos and on TV handling cards and you didn't have gloves on. I'll never send you cards. And I'm like, that's very strange because I've been doing this for a long time and I know people have been doing it longer than me. We've never worn gloves, and there's a reason why we don't wear gloves, because if you wear gloves when you're grading cards, you will damage cards. You can't get that tactile feel, right? You don't know where that card is. You know, our nerves and our fingers are amazing devices. We really can feel a lot of detail. So we can be very gentle holding a card, but you can't with gloves. And so what we found, and what I found over the last almost three decades is, you wear gloves, you're gonna damage cards. And again, if you keep your hands dry and clean, keep your fingernails dry and clean, don't have to worry about anything with the cards, handling the cards without gloves. And you know, a general rule when you are handling cards is hold them by the edges or hold them in the palm of your hand, as we can see in these two images here. These are the two safest way to hold cards when not just grading them or screening them, but also placing them in penny sleeves or whatever holder you're using. It's just a general rule, you just want to handle cards in this manner. All right, so we're going to switch over now to our camera. We're going to do a live grading demonstration. And I call it live grading demonstration, but really it's more, we're going to show you some things and kind of talk about what that particular flaw would grade. So I want to start this by saying, from what I've seen, I think that one area that most people are missing, especially if you're new to the industry, if you're new to submitting cards, you're new to screening cards, is the surface. And it can be very difficult in training graders about surface. I can about guarantee you there are things on surfaces that you have missed. And the part of that is, you know, it's how you examine the surface and then what you're looking for on the surface. So we're going to start with a few interesting and very common issues that will cause you to get lower grades if you're not looking for these. And, you know, this is where I've heard, you know, about I've got to wipe my cards because you're going to hit my grades and things like that. But that's actually, a lot of these things are factory issues that are getting missed. And while I say factory, most are factory, some are aftermarket damage. But these are some common surface issues that you guys probably are missing. So we'll start with this Prism card here. Unfortunately, your chrome surface cards, like Topps Chrome and Panini Prisms and things of that nature, those surfaces are going to be more susceptible to damage, such as scratches and things of that nature. But just because of the manufacturing process, there's a number of issues that, unfortunately, no matter how great the card is, they come with them from the factory. So this one has what we call a pinch. And a pinch is almost, it's almost like a crease, but it's a factory produced flaw on the surfaces. And let's see if we can get that here. Weston, I'm gonna let you drive that.
Sure.
So you can, and we can talk about it. So this card in particular down in the bottom left area of the, and you'll have to give us just a minute so we can sheen it. Okay, there we go. So, and I'm gonna use this right here. So if we look at, wrong way. Right in that area right there, we'll see that line right there. So that's a pinch in the surface. Now this is an extreme example. This is one that I would be confident that everybody would find. But we're not really sure even how these happen, but the surface, the chrome surface itself is like pinched. And if you look at the surface like that, it's like it's this way. And so pinches can come in all different sizes and severity. But again, as I said, this is a very severe one. And in fact, this grade of this one, you know, if you were to break up the surface as its own grade, it's going to be in the 5 to 5.5 range. So this one is a severe one. So now I'll show some other ones here that aren't as severe. I think that was...
Question. Is that from the manufacturer, like the pretty press type thing? Or
that one is, yeah.
Paneling, whatever.
Yeah, these all... I specifically did not pull any examples that were aftermarket damage. These are all factory damage. And we can talk about some of the aftermarket, which scratching is the big one. Now, this one is also another factory flaw. And this one's actually kind of a new one for us. I haven't seen one exactly like this before. I was going through a number of cards looking for some specific surface damage, and I got lucky and found one that's really weird. So this is just off of his nose here in the field, and you'll see this little circle. Hopefully you'll see it. Yeah. So that's a bubble, and it's crazy because I've never seen a bubble on that. It's not even the top surface. It's underneath the top surface. And it's a perfectly symmetrical circle bubble on the surface. Very strange. There we go. So it looks like a dimple, but it's not. It's actually a bubble. So this is a very weird one. Since it's not as severe as some scratching or a pinch, things of that nature, you know, this one would put the card overall in like the 7.5-8 range. So it's not, you're not killing it, but it definitely is going to affect it. This is something that you, if you're not looking at these cards closely, you don't know how to look at the surface on these closely, this is something you could get missed.
All right, so great work there by Andy Broom from CSG Grading. I thought that was very informative and something that's very relevant to the Sports Card Strategy Show and our audience. We need to be good at grading cards because grading cards, getting gem mints, are going to increase the value of our cards and help us make profit. So I thought that was very interesting, and hopefully you guys all enjoyed it. I'll be back probably later in the week with the final behind the scenes look at some of the interesting stuff I saw at Mint Collective, but I'm really excited to talk to Lefty McKee tomorrow in episode 76, getting back to the normal format of the Sports Card Strategy Show. Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening. listening to the special edition behind the scenes at the Mint Collective 2023 in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. I'm headed back to Franklin, Tennessee tomorrow. This was How to Grade Your Own Card, CSG Grading School. I'm Paul Hickey with NoOffseason.com. Thanks for watching and listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show.